Well, it's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be hearing from Anne-Marie McGlynn. She reflects on her national marathon success from last weekend. Donegal senior hurling manager Mickey McCann is sticking around for another year. We'll get his thoughts on continuing to stay at the helm of the hurlers. Plus, he'll preview the Ulster club games for Setanta and St Eunan's. Narasa manager Declan Boner will also be looking ahead to the Donegal Junior Champions Ulster Club clash with Lisnaski, which is taking place on Saturday. But first, we're going to start with Gaelic Games. Donegal GA launched their new county jersey for the 2024 season today at the Abbey Hotel in Donegal Town in conjunction with O'Neill's. The county crest is at the heart of the design, which isn't too far off the previous jersey. Donegal forward Oisin Gallen attended the launch today and spoke to Ryan Ferry of the Donegal News. And he told him that he hopes that the jersey brings a fresh start heading in to next season.
Oisin, a new design, what do you make of it?
Yeah, it looks well. Fair play to O'Neill's and the county board for getting it designed, getting it made. Looks well, looks fresh, and looking forward to getting wearing it now and next year.
Yeah, so it's a fresh jersey, and hopefully you'll get the right kind of results in it next year.
Yeah, hopefully maybe it's a fresh start for us now going into 2024. As I said, looking forward to getting wearing it now and getting up and running for the new season.
Very good. I suppose you're been out a few weeks now with McCool's, a great journey with that. Did you get much of a chance to get the feet up, or are you back on to gym program or whatever the rest is now to get geared up to next year?
Yeah, get a bit of a rest after it. I suppose whenever things are going well, you don't want to really stop, to be honest. There's a week or two there of resting up, and then it's just kind of getting back to work and keeping the body right and keeping in shape.
Yeah, I suppose maybe unlike last year, you know, things were maybe a little bit slow and getting gathered up. But obviously, Jim McGuinness has been appointed a good few months ago now, and plans are in place, and hopefully will give you a good solid foundation for the year ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It's a positive start. I suppose we were left in limbo last year a bit with the delay in finding a manager. So it's great that selection and appointment has been done, and it's in place already for us, and it gives us a chance now to already look ahead and plan ahead for next year, and more often it's good. It's a good start for us, so hopefully it keeps progressing now.
Yeah, because we just entered November, but you know it won't be too long before the McKenna Cup comes around and the start of the league, and you know, particularly the league, you know, you're going to have to be, you know, you're going to be wanting to be in the promotion shake-up. I'm sure you're going to want to get a good body of work done so that you're ready to hit the ground running.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, it's going to come thick and fast once the McKenna Cup gets up and running. And as we know now, the new competitions, the league, there's a lot more importance in the league and a lot more importance in finishing in the top half of your league to ensure you're in the Sam Maguire Cup. So, the games are going to come thick and fast. But sure, I mean, that's what we want now. Like, whenever we get up and running, that's what we're going to be aiming towards. And, very exciting now waiting on the games to come around and to get started into the new season.
Yeah, the championship draw was made a couple of weeks ago. You're going into Celtic Park to face Derry. I don't know if it was written in the stars that Jim would go up against Mickey Hart again, but you know, Derry have won the last two Ulster titles. They're a very formidable team.
Yeah, I suppose they're at the top of Ulster at the minute, so they're the team you have to beat. And if you want to win that Ulster, that Anglo-Celt, teams like Derry and Tyrone and etc, the teams you're going to have to knock down. And I suppose it's just straight into the thick of it in the first round, isn't it? You know, there'll be no easing in process. It's going to be fast and furious from the first round of the Ulster Championship. But that's the joys of the Ulster Championship. That's what it brings. That's the teams we have here. And it's exciting. It's definitely exciting. It's a good draw. So we'll be looking forward to it, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure it's probably a wee bit, you know, while you had a good run maybe in the round robin last year, the Ulster Championship was disappointing, losing the Down the first day out. And, you know, Donegal supporters have been accustomed to getting the Ulster finals and going very well in the provincial championship. And it's something that means a lot to Donegal footballers.
It does, of course. There's heavy importance on the Ulster Championship. We had a great run of it from 2018 up as far as even to that 2020. That Cavan final, but look, last year was disappointing, the Down game. Obviously, we bounced back after that, but I'm sure we'll not be looking for a an exit like that for next year. You know, we know what the Anglo Celt means for Donegal people and the importance it has in Ulster. And listen, I suppose everybody will be looking to hopefully bring it back into the Diamond. But no harder start than it than a game against Derry. So if you're going to win it, you're going to win it the hard way. But sure, listen, that's just the Ulster Championship. That's what it brings.
And I suppose, you know, you would have looked on as Jim McGuinness led Donegal to the All-Ireland in 2012, and I'm sure you were inspired by that. Is you know, looking, have you had many conversations with Jim looking ahead to the next year, or where do you stand with him?
Yeah, it's funny. I was 11 or 12 when he took over, like, and you're kind of that's the team you want it to be, like, the team that he brought along. So be very excited now to get working with him, to get under his guidance and get working with him. So I'll be very, very much looking forward to that. Having followed Donegal during those early 2010s, followed them religiously, like, so to get the chance now to work with Jim is a great opportunity, and I'm sure it's not just me, I'm sure all the other lads are thinking the same too. So we'll be eager, we'll be keen, and we'll be looking forward to getting under his wing.
That's Oisin Gallen speaking with Ryan Ferry at the launch of the Donegal jersey, which took place earlier today. By the way, available now in the sports section of our website, there is of course a full interview there with Donegal senior team manager Jim McGuinness. I spoke to him earlier this week when he attended the Father Brian Quinn Memorial Golf Classic, which took place down at Rosapenna in conjunction with Donegal GAA and the Donegal Hospice. And that interview, which we're playing snippets of throughout the week on our Sports Bulletin, is available in full to listen back to on highlandradio.com. Well, the new Donegal jersey will, of course, be worn by the footballers and the hurlers. Mickey McCann is staying with the Donegal hurlers for another year and feels if everyone is available, they can lift silverware. In 2023, they lost out in both the Nicky Rackard final and the Division 2B League final, but they did lift the pre-season McGurk Cup at the start of the year. This weekend in the Ulster Club Championship, both Setanta and St Eunan's are in action in Ulster. I've been speaking with Mickey about those games for the Donegal sides this weekend, but first, we talked about him sticking with the senior hurlers for another term. So, Mickey, it's been a while since we spoke. You're welcome on to the programme, and I suppose we're talking about good news, and you've to stick around and hang on for another Donegal senior hurling manager. When you got over the disappointments, well, there's still disappointments that takes a long time to get over, Mickey, that happened last season. Did it take you long to make up your mind that you were quite happy to remain in the position of senior hurling manager?
We left it a month, Oisin, after we beat the Nicky Rackard final, you know, and we just have a chat after in terms of the backroom team and all. We'd sit down, maybe have a chat the county final, and we did look. But everybody's keen to go again, Oisin, and we felt, look, we brought a lot of young boys on board last year, and, you know, still three or four of them on the 21 this year. So we had a lot of positives to work on, and we thought maybe we might have left at least maybe the Nicky Rackard behind us, you know, on the day. And if injuries went our way better, we could have probably won that. So, look, a bit of unfinished business. We feel like we can go and maybe won that and to try to get Donegal Hurling to the Christy Ring level, you know. But overall, when we sat down, it was a very good season for us last year. You know, you won the pre-season competition, the McGurk Cup, and then to get the Division 2B final was brilliant, considering the injuries and stuff we had, you know, and we got a lot of experience in the young boys, and then just to come up that wee bit short in Croke Park against a good Wicklow team. So look, a few disappointments, but when you broke it all down and sat down, it was probably a decent enough year, Oisin, you know, just a wee bit short in terms of winning the Cup, you know.
Yeah, because Donegal, there's no doubt they can compete at that higher level, at that Christy Ring level, and that was proved particularly in games and in matches that you played in the league, Mickey.
Yes, I suppose you look at the Christy Ring final, Oisin, it was Derry and Meath, and Meath who we'd run tight for 60-odd minutes in a league final, and they went on, they won the Christy Ring, you know, and Derry, who we've had some tight battles over the last couple of years and beat them a couple of times, you know. So shows we can go to that level, just maybe more consistency like them teams. They do it, they compete at that level more consistently is probably our downfall and something we have to work on, you know. But well able to go up a level, actually, just against a good Wicklow team last year, probably, who've been playing Christy Ring this last, probably the first time on the Nicky Racker, to be honest. So it shows you what we're up against, you know.
Yeah. And if it is going to happen next year, Mickey, obviously you had your injury problems and those players that weren't available to you. Are you going to need all hands on deck? Are you going to need everybody on board for this next year? And is that now a process that you have already started in, talking to sort of key personnel?
Yes, look, so we had one or two boys opted out last year, and Sean McVay and them, and we will get a good talk with them now over the winter and stuff. Most other boys are all available again from last year, Oisín. And look, there's no doubt if you want to do a job in Donegal hurling, you need the hurlers out as the so little clubs and all. So we need everybody pushing and trying to get the best players and the best team possible out for the county, you know, and that's a must. So we'll be pushing hard to get to do that, you know. And some boys are a long season, and some boys are still in Ulster Club, where the panel maybe is 18 to 20 boys still out this weekend. So it's hard to get it all together so early, with boys still involved and so many. So the next few weeks will really be knocking down, you know, considering how teams do in Ulster Club, you know.
Yeah. Well, you're also joining us on the programme tonight as well, Mickey, to talk about the Ulster Club. And obviously we've got two teams who are involved and two who are out this weekend. We've seen Satanta last year compete in the Ulster Junior Championship, and obviously they got to the All-Ireland stage, the quarter-final as well. But it's a step up at intermediate level. Ballinascreen against of Derry is the opposition, and Owenbeg this coming Saturday. What is the chances in this tie of the Donegal champions, Mickey, do you feel?
Actually looking forward to that game, Oisín. It's really, really a 50-50 game now. Probably, if you call it, you think the Derry champions are probably slightly favoured, being home vantage and all. And Ballinascreen, who you know, over the last 10 years would have been up around senior level and getting the senior semi-finals and stuff. So they're going to be a tough opposition for Satanta. I do think they're well capable, and I said it last year during the junior final, I think Satanta would be well capable of competing at intermediate level. So it's just the physical side. Derry Club hurling, very physical, and they're going to bring that wee edge to it, and if Satanta can match them that way, you know, I do think they have a chance. There's some lively forwards up there, Marty Bradley and Rory O'Kane and boys like that, so they're going to have to keep them quiet, Oisín, and I suppose they've plenty of life in their own forward line, so they can create a bit of space up there like they did in the county final and get them boys into the games, and they're definitely a goal threat there, which could be enough to want it for them. But look, I think Santa's going to have to bring their A game, which they're well capable of, but actually looking forward to that game. As I say, it's going to be a tough battle, and it's a hard one to call.
Yeah, it certainly is. And listen, we'll have updates from that game on Saturday. Ryan Ferry is going to be in duty in Owenbeg for Highland Radio Sport. And earlier in the day, St Eunan's, the Donegal side, who are representation of the county at junior level, are taking on OMA, the Tyrone champions. And it's at the O'Donnell Park, 12:30 start. I suppose, first of all, St Eunan's, it's good for them that they have home advantage, and they'll be looking to try and have a crack at this competition this year, Mickey.
Yes, it's the home advantage is massive when it comes to Ulster, you know, and it's just you just be thinking, as you know, after losing the county final, it's hard to get up and get concentrating on Ulster, so they would need to have done that and had their training done and ready. I'd consider them hot favourites now, to be fair, against Toma. Maybe one or two Tyrone panels there in their team, or of course, the Unions have a spread, maybe 8 or 9 county players in our panel, so you would think they should have enough if they're organised and there's the hard work done in the last 5 or 6 weeks, you know. So I expect the Unions to give that Ulster Junior a good rattle, you know, if they're at themselves, watching. Felix Atlanta won it last year, and I think the Donegal teams going into the Ulster Junior have a real realistic chance of silverware, you know.
Yeah, well, listen, hopefully we'll get a double for Donegal sides at the weekend. Satanta and St Eunan's both in Ulster Club action. Mickey, I'm sure you'll be watching both games with a lot of interest, because you've got a big year to plan ahead. And thanks again for joining us, and we wish you and the guys all the best now in your preparations for the 2024 season.
Okay, thanks, Oisín.
Good to speak with Mickey McCann, the Donegal senior hurling manager, earlier today. Moving back into football, and for the first time in 24 years, Narossa find themselves in Ulster competition this weekend. On Saturday, the Donegal junior champions face Fermanagh's Lisnaskee in the quarter-final of the provincial campaign at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny. There will, of course, be live coverage from that match here on Highland, which starts at 2:45. Ahead of the game this week, I've been speaking with the Narossa manager, Declan Boner. So, Declan, it's been a while since we had you on, but it's nice to be talking football at this time of the year and still involved in competition.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, she's brilliant. Yeah, the club's had a good year, you know, getting promoted back into Division 2 and then getting the sustained run in the Junior Championship and, getting through to intermediate for next season and getting a first outing in the Ulster Club Championship. So, yeah, an exciting year for the club.
Yeah. Obviously, it was well documented in the media about the objection that was lodged by Moville on the result of the Junior A final. Declan, did it have any sort of effect on you guys planning for Ulster this weekend?
No, I didn't really. Actually, you know, once the game was over, and you know, they're very. We didn't really, you know, at the end of the day, we just had a job to do to get ready for the match on Saturday, and that's exactly what we done. So yeah, no, listen, preparations have gone reasonably well. The weather hasn't been great, and. We've got a bit of work done, so we're looking forward to a good challenge now against Liston Ski, which it will be a good challenge. They're a decent side, so yeah, it's been an interesting match.
Yeah. Just on that junior final, Declan, what did it mean to everybody involved in the club and obviously the people in the parish? Because it was your first championship since 99, and the club has went through some very, very testing and difficult periods in recent years. So what does it mean to everybody involved to win a championship?
Listen, it's massive, Oisin, to be quite honest. You know, we don't have an underage structure. We find it difficult with numbers. Numbers have always been a problem. And, you know, we got a good squad of players together. A lot of lads have hung on an extra number of years just to keep the club going. And for those guys, it's been brilliant. You know, we also have a core of guys in their mid-20s that have stayed about. There's maybe six or seven of those guys that stayed about that didn't emigrate. You know, and those guys really drove the club on over the last number of years, and for those people also it's been important, and for the guys involved, you know, that's in the background all the time and that you know, gave up their time. There's very little else to be doing, you know, around the Doherty Lecture area, just small area, and you know, it brings you right back to where the grassroots football is at club level. And you know, it's been a very, very enjoyable, and it was faster for the club. 24 years since we won a championship. I was back in intermediate in 99. So, yeah, no, it was massive couple of days after too, and really enjoyable, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Obviously, you have hit the pinnacle of the club, and you have won a championship, and you mentioned about no real underage structure there. Is that now something that the club are going to try and develop and improve on maybe now in the next couple of years and try and build something off a championship success, Declan?
Well, listen, we're still really struggling with numbers. I mean, there's three schools in the area, the Doherty, Letcher, Minigone, and, you know, within those schools, I think there may only be 50-odd pupils in total at those. And if you take from the age of five, from five up to around 12, that's 7 years. And, you know, there's maybe half of those are girls, half of those are boys. So it's very difficult to get any underage structure. We just don't have the numbers. You know, in the past, those guys would have went playing underage would done low. But even in the last 2 or 3 years, we just had nobody at that age group. And even this year coming out, we don't have anyone coming out of minor that have played minor. The last two have been Oisin Caulfield and my own lad, Killian, have come through. And I mean, they've been a big help to us. But, you know, the numbers are so, so tight on the ground. And that's why a lot of our lads remain playing on into their 40s, because they have to keep the club going, really, you know.
Yeah. Well, let's turn our focus now to Liston Ski. What do you know of the Fermanagh opposition ahead of Saturday's fixture, Declan?
Yeah, no, listen, they're a decent side. You know, I watched them a couple of times, and they, you know, the 19-point facile victory in the final of the Fermanagh Championship. You know, they are really a senior club. They've won 20-odd titles at senior level in Fermanagh. I think they won the All-Ireland club was 10 or 11 years ago, an intermediate club title, All-Ireland level. So, you know, they're down intermediate or down junior this season, and, you know, they really walked through Fermanagh. So, listen, they're a decent team, and it'll give us a really, really powerful test at the weekend. But, listen, we're going into unknown territory from our point of view. It's the first time ever going into an Ulster club campaign, but it's one that the lads have really, really embraced, and as I say, really looking forward to it. The whole club is now, in fairness.
Yeah, and do you have everybody available, Declan? Do you have everybody fit and well for it?
Yeah, listen, you know, when you have a long season, there's always going to be a number of niggles and knocks, and we have a number of players that are probably struggling for the weekend. Maybe Ryan Hennessy and possibly Adam McHugh going to be out for the weekend, which would be, you know, a blow for us. But listen, it'll give some of the other lads an opportunity to come in. But no, listen, as I say, the whole area in the parish are really looking forward to it now. And as I say, you know, come Saturday afternoon, we'll be giving it our all in O'Donnell Park.
Yeah. Okay, listen, Declan, thanks for talking to us. We wish you the best of luck on Saturday.
Okay, thanks, Oshie.
That's Declan Bonner. Good to catch up with him. That game starts at 2:45 at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on a Saturday. Narasa against Lesniski. And there will be live coverage from that tie here in Highland. I'll be joined in the commentary position by Brendan Kilcoyne. Satanta's match against Ball on the Screen, the Derry Champions, is on at 4:15 at Owen Beg. Ryan Ferry will be attending that one for us. And the St Union's game, in which they play Oma of Tyrone, is at the O'Donnell Park on Saturday as well. An earlier start time of 12:30. To that game. Okay, time for a commercial break here on The Score. Join us for more after these. And you're welcome back to The Score here on Highland. Turning our attention now to soccer and the final run of games in the League of Ireland Premier Division season. And it's taking place on a Friday night with all 10 teams in action. What we do know is, of course, Shamrock Rovers are champions once again. That was all sorted out last week, and in their final game of the league campaign, they play Sligo Rovers at the Tallaght Stadium tomorrow evening, starting at 7:45. All the games start at 7:45, including the match at the Brandywell, and it's just goal difference separating Derry City and St Pat's in second and third as the two sides bring down the curtain on their 2023 league season at the Ryan McBride Brandywell Stadium. Now, the visiting Pats have the small matter of an FAI Cup final to look forward to after tomorrow's game, but Rory Higgins is in no doubt that they will also be very keen to claim the one that would see them leapfrog Derry into the runners-up spot. There has been rumours about strikers coming to the Brandywell next season. There's also been lots of debate around the pitch at the Derry venue. Speaking ahead of the final game of the season, the Derry boss today said that it's important for everyone at the club and supporters that Derry get the win and finish second on Friday.
We want to make sure that we finish in second place. Obviously, we're disappointed that we haven't gone into the last couple of weeks right in the mix, and there's obviously real frustration from that end, but we need to make sure that we secure second place, and obviously Europe probably being the highlight of the year, and if we can secure second and we've had a good European run, then it gives us something, I suppose, to build on for next year.
And there's a slight financial incentive, but in terms of finishing as the second best team in the country, like, you know, that's a big accolade to have in Monday next year.
But we're at home as well, and we want to make sure that we put in a real committed performance, and make sure that our supporters leave here tomorrow night looking forward to getting back to the Brandywell in February and for the pre-season friendlies. It's important, our supporters, to be honest, have stuck with us from start to finish, and even in difficult times they stuck with us, so we need to make sure that we send them home happy tomorrow.
Yeah, and the result in Cork last week obviously was brilliant leading into this as well too, much needed.
Aye, we knew going into the Cork game that if we won one or two matches, regardless of what Pat's done, we would finish second, so that's still the case. We want to finish on a high, and we want the players to go and express themselves and enjoy their football.
You know, that time of the year now where you're working more probably behind the scenes than you are on the action. Obviously work's going on at the moment. Names linked everywhere.
Aye, in terms of recruitment and all that, it never ever stops. Even in the busiest times of the year, you're still, how can we improve this? How can we improve that? How can we improve on the pitch, off the pitch? So it never ever stops. But it is silly season in the sense where everyone, all the names start flying around, and this is happening, that's happening. And you get a good giggle at it at times, but of course we're working hard in the background. I think we know the areas where we need to improve. A lot of our stuff as a team has been good. We haven't conceded many goals. I know we've still got a game to play at home, but we've conceded 8 goals at home in 17 matches, which is an outstanding record. Defensively, we haven't given up many goals. We've controlled a lot of matches. We've created opportunities. We just haven't been ruthless enough, and that's the bottom line. And we need to we know that that needs to change for us to take the next step as a team.
Obviously, you're talking about ruthlessness. There's believed to be two strikers out there that are top end of the country scoring goals, Gaffney and Hooban. Any sort of chat to them possibly making their way to LeBrandy, Will?
I've heard them rumours myself as well, but we will focus on the game on Friday against St Pat's, and then we'll talk more about players that we're retaining and players that we potentially bringing into the club.
And we're just sitting here in the sunshine on a lovely day at the Brandy. Well, it's not what you want rain and lashing rain, because this pitch is, we've talked about it all season, that probably you played in a bog last week but down in Cork, but you'd probably take the bog if you could get that every week.
Oh, listen, I think there's been a lot said and made of the pitch. I'm not going to add any more to that. I've made it clear what my preference is, like what everyone's preference is. I think everyone connected to the club with their preferences, but it's a wee bit more complicated than just it's not as simple as what it may seem, put it that way. So so that's for an order.
And finally, sorry, team news, what do you like for
we have some concerns. Adam O'Reilly as a major doubt. Shane McElhinney is out. Jamie McGonigal's been carrying a knock the last few weeks. Danny Mullen hasn't trained much the last few weeks. Michael Duffy's carrying a niggle. We won't know until closer to game time who's feeling what, and we'll confirm. Obviously, we won't confirm our team until tomorrow night. Give everyone the best possible opportunity.
There's been a lot of mitigating factors in terms of not sustaining the title challenge as well. What we were just talking about, the pitch, seeing Alan Colley putting out a stat about how that he reckons that could have probably, that you've suffered from the pitch here at the Brandywell in terms of your home form. I know you haven't conceded many. The results have been good, but not enough ones. I think 8 ones out of the 17 next year.
Aye, well, we obviously we. There's been a lot of draws here. We've lost 3. There's been a lot of draws that we need to, again, we need to turn a lot of them draws into wins, and we're maybe not having that conversation, so we can't just use it. We can't just use the pitch as an excuse. It's we know we can win matches on here as well. We've shown that. So listen, everyone's entitled to their opinion, but as I said, we haven't conceded many goals here, but we haven't won enough games here either, so we need that to improve going forward.
It's been a season of ups and downs, and for you personally as well, it's been a long, tough season for what you've gone through personally as well too. I'm sure there'll be some relief when the final whistle goes on Friday night too.
There's no doubt about that. It's been a major challenge, and there's been times where it was extremely difficult, other times where you're okay. Listen, it's been a very up and down year, and I just want to thank the support that I've had from everyone at the club and on a daily basis. And it's a privilege to be managing this football club. It's obviously got its challenges at times, and this year probably more so than any that I've ever faced. So there's been a lot of people at the club who have been extremely supportive, if we can manage to finish second and we've had a decent European campaign, then you can walk away with some sort of pride and satisfaction. But I need to go away personally and get refreshed and get our work done that needs to be done, but get refreshed and come back with a real hunger to take the next step.
Derry boss Rory Higgins speaking to the press today ahead of that final game of the season against St Pat's. Starts at 7:45. Also tomorrow night, Drogheda United take on Shelburne at 7:45 as well. Bohemians are taking on Cork City. Cork City, of course, sit in the relegation promotion spot. As we said, Shamrock Rovers up against Sligo, and already relegated UCD are playing Dundalk. Locally in football, taking centre stage this weekend is the latest round of games in the FAI Junior Cup, and our feature match on Sunday will come from Inishowen. Alia FC are playing host to Letterkenny Rovers. Chris Ashmore will be attending that game on Sunday, starts at 1:30. We'll have updates as from 2 o'clock. Kilmacrenan and Celtic are playing Coghill Celtic, and in an all-in Shone affair, Greencastle FC are up against Buncrana Hearts. But there is no doubt what the tie off the weekend is in the Donegal Junior Football League. It's in the top flight, the Premier Division, with the top two playing a try-a-lock. Second place Fannet United are taking on the leaders Kildrum Tigers, and as they go into the game, there's just 1 point separating the top two. Also in the Premier Division, Cager Rovers take on Swilly Rovers, Milford United play Goodore Celtic, and St Catharines are taking on Castlefin Celtic. In Division 1, Donegal Town have the opportunity to go joint top of the table with Letterkenny. Rovers, of course, are playing in the Cup. Donegal Town are away to Convoy Arsenal in Division 1. And the big game in Division 2 at the weekend is first place Ballybuffet United up against third place Dromahal FC, while second spot Lifford Celtic are at home to Corra Athletic. Lifford currently trail Ballybuffet by 4 points at the top. In the Saturday games in the Donegal Junior League, there's also a top of the table clash in Division 1 with the leaders Old Town Celtic playing host to Caju Rovers. Into Division 2, the leaders Swilly Rovers are playing 4th place Drumbar United, with 2nd place Dunluin in the Road Ecuador and 3rd place Remelton hosting Dromahal FC. The top 4 sides are all playing in that FAI Junior Cup in Inishowen, so really it's the sides in the bottom half of the Premier Division who are meeting each other this weekend. Carn against Dullies and Mavill against Glengad United. But the top 4 meet each other in Division 1. The leaders Redcastle United, who have a 4-point cushion at the top, go to 2nd place Quigley's Point Swifts, and 4th place Kildaff are taking on 3rd place Coghill Youths. That's some of the standout ties soccer-wise in the Northwest this coming weekend. In boxing, the National League Championships start this weekend, and Letterkenny's Paddy McShane is in action on Friday night in the preliminary round as he takes on Adam Hessian of Monavay. That's in the 57kg category. And Cathal McLaughlin of Raphoe, of course, who was successful in the senior championships in recent weeks, he's also involved in the elites, and he will fight in the semi-finals at 75kg on Saturday. In athletics, the Ulster Novice and Uneven Age Cross-Country Championships are being hosted here in the county by Finn Valley AC on Saturday. As always, there'll be a big contingent of athletes from right across Ulster who will be chasing medals, and since it's in Donegal, there'll be a big Donegal contingent as well looking for a success there at provincial level. And in our final piece here in the Score tonight, we're staying with athletics, and we recap on last weekend. Anne-Marie McGlynn won her first Irish Marathon title last Sunday in Dublin. The 43-year-old Letterkenny AC athlete was the first Irish lady and the 5th woman home in the Dublin Marathon in a time of 2 hours 34 minutes and 13 seconds, almost 3 minutes ahead of the next Irish lady. McGlynn ended up finishing 49th overall. Sunday's run was her 3rd attempt at winning the title. Anne-Marie looked back on that victory and also looks to the future when she spoke with Highlands' Jordan McDade.
So Anne-Marie, congratulations on winning last weekend in Dublin. How pleasing was it, given that you came close in previous attempts?
In 2019, I always went to win. Like, you know, every race I go there and that's what I want. Like, but it doesn't always work out that way. And on Sunday, yeah, like the goal was to always come home with that cup. And until you do it, you know, you can't really believe it. And even when I did do it, I was just like, oh, pinch me moment, because I came so close twice. And yeah, I suppose Sunday was third time lucky, thankfully.
And were you confident heading into the race that maybe this could be your year?
Yeah, like I kept saying, today's my day. And you know, I never discount anybody. You know, it's never a given. Like, there's always somebody that's going to put it up to you. And on Sunday, Courtney, like all week, Courtney, the defending champion, was in. She was out. She was in, and I was getting messages. Like, I had to literally come off my social media because it was just getting too much. People were like, "Oh, what's the story? And what way are you gonna work? And what way are you gonna run now? If she's in, if she's out?" And I'm like, you know, in my head, I was like, my plan never changed from 14 weeks ago. Like, myself and my coach sat down. We had the plan. It was to try and take home the national title, and regardless of who was in it. So yeah, I just had to always just race my own game, race my own race. Like, and I always do that. Like, and especially in a marathon, you can't run anybody else's race. It's too long. It's, you know, you can't start and sit in on somebody else's tactics, because it's just gonna, you know, it's not gonna work out in your favor more than likely. So I always was gonna run my own race, and yeah, the tactics was to be a little bit cautious and not go out at 2:30 pace, because it's a long way around, and if a bang came or I cramped or everything goes through your head, it's like there's only one way and that's backwards then. So we just said, let's go out with 5:50 pace regardless. That was a plan from 14 weeks ago, and that's what I did, and yes, so the plan never changed and I got the results. So,
and you mentioned you went off social media in the build up to the race. How much of a benefit did that have on you?
Yeah, like, you know, everybody, you know, the support I get is unreal. But at the same time, if you weren't strong enough to take it, like, because it can get into your head a little bit, you know, because people, I suppose, they see me and they see me training and they just think, oh, you'll be okay. You're fast or you're fit and you train every day. But it's still a long way around, and you know, you're your own worst enemy at times. Like, I put so much pressure on myself, and not for me to win it, but to win it for everybody that supports me, like my husband, my kids, my mom and dad, my sister's brothers, Trev's family, my training partners, my club, Letterkenny. Like, I just, the pressure I put on myself for all of them is what gets to me. So, and then when the messages are coming in, and people mean well, but it can get you a little bit, and you don't want that kind of nervous energy, too much of it, running into it. So, yeah, no, I did kind of take myself out of it about 5 days running into it. So I didn't have to see, you know, even like the Letterkenny legend, which was lovely to see and hear. But, yeah, it's hard. Like, it's pressure that I was like, oh. But I suppose it's how you deal with it. And I think I dealt with it in a good way. So
the race itself, take us through it. It must have been very tough.
Yeah, I suppose the warm-up area is probably, for me, the scariest part, because, you know, it's just seeing everybody running up and down and everybody chatting and wanting to know what's the plan, and you just want that gun to go. Like, so once I kind of get on the start line and it's getting a bit more official and, you know, like in the next 5 minutes I'm going to be up that road, and then everything kind of becomes clear, then you have a plan and the plan goes into action. So for me, the start is, once the gun goes, I'm 100%. But the plan was to go out with 5:50, and you know, at the start, you could, running up that road, the first 400 meters, if you didn't look at your watch, you could be on 5:20 pace. And I mean, you do a mile at that, you're going to pay for it. Like, so I was just very conscious of that, and I looked at my watch and just pulled back, and once I was on my number, I just sat there, and then you kind of get into wee groups, you know. But I know, looking back now on the live stream, there were commentators were kind of saying, oh, was the guy from Clane a pacer? Like, I'd never seen him in my life. Don't know who he was. And it was just by chance, you kind of gather more people in a group, and then one's kick on and then one fall back, and it's the way it goes for kind of like at least 15 mile, and then it does get lonely near the end. So you just have to keep telling myself, you know, today's my day and I'm strong and I'm fit. And I knew I was strong. I knew I was fit. It was just, I just needed everything to go in my favor, because it's very easy to be running and feeling great, and then you don't. It can happen, like, whereas it's all good until it isn't. So for me, I never felt like that. I kind of felt like I was running within myself the whole time. I probably lost a couple of seconds in the last mile because I really did take it in, and especially the last half a mile. Like, I was loving life. Like, so, but yeah, like, it basically went 5:50 average until it slowed a wee bit in the last couple of miles. But other than that, yeah, it just kind of went to plan.
And when you crossed the line, how did it feel?
Yeah, amazing. Like, Jim Hockney, the director, is just such a lovely man, and I have a lot of contact with him in the run-up to Dublin every year. And, you know, he's always there to greet the elite coming in and the mass. Like, he's such a oh, he's just an unreal man, that he's the face of Dublin Marathon. And when I came in, and he just gave me the biggest hug and whispered in my ear, he was delighted for me. And honestly, that's all you want. Like, you just want to make everybody else proud. My mum had a knee operation 2 weeks ago, so she couldn't come. And yeah, my daddy was there. He was there at halfway, getting him a high five. And then at the finish line, he came in. And yeah, just that's what makes it, isn't it? So seeing all those happy faces and happy tears makes it all worthwhile.
And can you tell us some of the other highlights of the year?
Yeah, like, I suppose last year was a big year in that, how am I going to beat that? It was huge, you know, European Marathon in Munich. And then I went to Dublin just to see how I would get on. I took COVID before Dublin last year, actually. So I was kind of like, oh God, this could go either way. And it kind of, I came second to Courtney. Still a big achievement. Like, it's still something that I, you know, I always, any time you're on a podium is a good day. So for me, that was still amazing. But I knew I wanted to lift that cup, so that was going to be for another day. And then I went to National Cross in Donegal, and to try and get the team gold for Letterkenny. We fell a wee bit short, but I made the Eurocross team. And then, like, it was just a big, big year. And going into this year then, it was a big thing to try and keep everything going, because, like, running kind of, I suppose, takes more out of me emotionally than it does physically. And at the beginning of the year, yeah, I felt fit. I went to Barcelona half marathon, I ran 72 minutes. And then, unfortunately, I got a bad tear in my calf, put me out for 3 months. And I just had to cross train and stay focused and just try and build my fitness again, knowing that I was going into a big marathon block. So I kind of, the first part of this year just didn't go to plan, but yeah, I salvaged it with Dublin, so I'm happy.
Is the next target now the national cross country? And last year you did lead Letterkenny to silver. Can you go one better there?
Yeah, like, I suppose, like I said, you know, it does take more out of me emotionally than it does physically. So this week the plan is to just recharge, freshen up the legs, and spend family time with the family and stuff. And I will sit with my coach probably Saturday, and we'll go from there. Like, I would love to be in Kilkenny. And yeah, hopefully we'll see how, I don't know until on Monday, and I'll go for a run and my body will tell me. Unfortunately, that has control more than my heart. So if my body's feeling good, yeah, I'll definitely be in Dublin with the girls to try and go that one place better and get the gold. It would be amazing, like, and those girls deserve it, you know. So if I can be part of it, I will be, for sure.
And turning our focus to next year, do you have a plan yet? Is there a few big events coming up?
Dublin was the first part of trying to get to Paris 24. I have a lot to do. I need to probably either do a really fast half or another marathon. So we'll look at early spring. I honestly don't have any specifics on it yet. Like, again, it was do Dublin, tick that box, and now it's family time, and then I'll tick that box, and then we'll, again, like I said, on Saturday or Sunday, I'll sit with my coach Emerson maybe, and we'll see. But there will be, yeah, there's definitely more racing to do early part of next year.
And finally, a lot of miles in the legs. How do you keep fresh and race ready?
Yeah, well, I'm very lucky that my husband Trev, he does sports massage. He's a barber by trade, but he does sports massage as well. And I have him tortured, like, literally every other day. He's flushing a calf or a quad or my shoulders. Like, he's amazing. Like, and it's, that's why I want to do what I can for all the likes of that, like, because the support I get is huge. And Patrick and Cahill in Fix You Physio and Letterkenny are amazing, have been amazing. Like, I've so many people that keep me in one piece, basically. Yeah, that's basically it. Like, and I try and run on grass as much as I can. I do double runs, so I'm not doing, like, you know, 14 mile in one go. I'm doing like 9 and 5, and it's a little bit more time consuming, but it's probably what's allowing me to continue to run the older I get. Like, so there's a wee bit more longevity in running a wee bit on grass, breaking up my runs, and yeah, getting physio and massages. So yeah, there's a lot to it, but it's like it takes a village. Like, it's not just me. I've got a huge support team behind me, and yeah, it's all thanks to them as well that I'm able to get the miles in.
That's Anne-Marie McGlynn having a good chat there with Jordan McDade, and that brings an end to the Score programme for tonight. Of course, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. Chris Ashmore's back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news. Until then, from me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.